from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Now, we're right back to it. Fitzy and Hart on WEEI.
And streaming everywhere on the Odyssey app.
As you say, goals for this team, a successful season at the end of the year will be trying this one.
Yeah, successful season, you know, in my eyes, is really about the foundation. Like, have we put together a good foundation of a combination of young and older players to really start, you know, competing? And honestly, it would be great to get up here and say, like, we're going to win a Super Bowl. But once again, it's about the process. And I tell the guys all the time, it's about process and progress and moving forward.
When you look at that foundation, like, you'll know this is what you want at the end of the year because it looks like what? Like, specifically, what does that foundation look like?
It looks like a winning football team. It looks like a tough, smart, dependable football team.
Final hour of your Sports Talk Radio afternoon listening.
Flown by.
Fitzy and Hart. Indeed, Chris Schein, it has flown by. And I think there are some people that maybe just fill a shift on a Sunday when they're asked and just kind of try to get from point A to point B.
Yep, I get
that. We did not do that.
No, we never do that.
We brought energy, effort, and attitude, as I always say.
I would like to say, I would venture to say you and I are the most electric duo in radio.
I'll take it.
You're damn right.
The most electric duo in radio.
It's not always good or bad electricity.
Oh, yeah.
But it's just electric.
We could be like the... who was the bad guy in one of the Spider-Man movies? What's his name?
Oh, played by Jamie Foxx?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
He kind of loses control of his electricity.
Yep.
That's how we are. Like, we're
Electro.
Good. Electro.
There you go.
We are Electro.
Yep.
We're good electricity. We're bad electricity, but we're going to zap you one way or the other.
Damn right.
Could be 0 wins, could be 7 wins. And we are going to get to the bottom of this debate right now by going to the phone lines to talk to your friend and mine, the guy who replaced me at Patriots.com, a noted, I don't want to call him a homer because that sounds disrespectful, but I think he generally tries to stay upbeat and positive. Mike Dassault, are you upbeat and positive this afternoon after watching another Patriots training camp practice?
Of course, Andy. That's what I do. I mean, I've never seen a practice I didn't love, especially the last couple of years. No, I would say it was a slightly better day. Slightly better day. Again, though, I think we're all trying to figure out what we're watching after the last 2 years of offense, quote unquote, that we watched. So it's hard to kind of parse it all out. Like, what are we actually seeing? What aren't we seeing? Certainly doesn't seem like the players are getting frustrated like they had in years past. So I actually thought today was a pretty good day. A couple of the young guys kind of starting to show up a little bit. So that's always a good thing.
So, Mike, to lay the foundation for this little phone hitter with us, and you're on the Fitzy and Hart program without your pal Fitzy, who's slacking and sloshing somewhere, getting hammered on a beach or something. You're with me, Jumbo Hart, you know me, and then Chris Schein from the Greg Hill Show.
Hello.
So I have discussed that there's at least one person in town, in Boston Sports Talk Radio, who thinks the Patriots are going to win 10 games. My co-host today says 7 wins is where it's going to land. I'm just steering into my prediction of 0-17. If I made you say right now, how many wins are the Patriots going to secure this season? The number you would say is?
6.
Oh, you took
I love that. Sure. Okay.
Okay. Okay. And what is that based upon?
It's based upon, I mean, I've seen you write about the defense, and I know you've got some good places for discussion there on the defense. I do like the defense. I mean, I think the offense will at least be, somewhere in the vicinity of competent, and you know, looking at last season, how that went, I mean, I think they probably could have gotten a couple more wins. So that's generally where I'm at. I mean, I just want to spark this year. I mean, you know, you guys played that quote from Mayo. You know, what does it look like? Do you put a number on it? I mean, I think we all know what it's going to look like. And, you know, especially the way it kind of matches up with, like, you know, two games at Buffalo at the end of the year, like, you know, the Chargers, like, are those teams trying to get in? Are they jockeying for position? Can the, you know, the Patriots play spoiler there? I think we're all just looking for, let's come out of the season and feel like they found a few young players who can, you know, provide a spark. And certainly a kid like Javon Baker, who, you know, had a pretty good practice today. Jalen Polk, who's getting targeted a lot. You know, Drake May seems to, you know, be looking a lot for those guys. So I think the elements are there, but I'm a little bit more positive. I just thought it was so bad last year. How can it be worse if they, you know, have an offense that actually seems like it's verging on competent?
So, Mike, of those six wins or of the whole season, how many of those do you think will actually have Drake May in them? Like, should we expect Drake May early and often, or are we thinking, you know, not until maybe even close to week six or at all if we see Drake May?
I know that's the great question, because it's like, if Jacoby Brissett's in there and they're playing well and God forbid they win some games early, then, you know, how long do they let it go, you know, before they feel like they got to get Drake in? So I'm hopeful that it's a couple early with Jacoby. Things are, you know, kind of up and down, and you realize, okay, Drake's seen enough. He's, you know, the offensive line, at least we know who our five are. We feel pretty good. Now it's time to get in. So I think, you know, I'd probably wait it like maybe probably 3-3, but maybe a little bit of a void in the middle. I don't know. I mean, I'm just spitballing here. You have no idea what it's going to look like, how it's going to come together. But I do just think the defense is going to give them a chance a lot of these weeks. And there certainly are concerns on defense, and I share, you know, a lot of what Andy's been saying. But just looking at those guys out there, I got to imagine every week that these guys are at least going to have a chance to you know, be competitive and, you know, get it down to the end, whereas last year you just kind of felt hopeless whenever the game was close or, God forbid, you were behind.
Mike, I am a self-described maniac. I wanted Drake May. Hashtag take Drake.
Yep.
Amen.
They did.
Yep.
I'm very happy that he's here, but I'm going to be honest with you. I didn't see today's practice, but after 3 days of non-contact, non-pads practice, I would deem myself a little underwhelmed with Drake May. Mm-hmm. And one thing that has, I won't say started to bother me, but there is a certain laissez-faire look to his game where he is very comfortable throwing sidearm, late, back foot, which is great when it works, is awesome, is Patrick Mahomes, is special. When it doesn't, it's infuriating. And I'm just concerned how the evolution of that development as a modern quarterback is going to go early in his career as he figures out what he can do and what he can't do. You know, he said, learn from the rookie mistake to Judon the other day. That was a pick six. But what is your sort of takeaway of four practices observing Drake May on the practice field?
Yeah, I mean, I would say the first one is, like, I'm just glad not to have to think about, is this guy too small, doesn't have enough of an arm, isn't athletic enough. Like, it's just nice to put all those things aside. Like, he's athletic enough, he's big enough, his arm is good enough. Like, all those things aren't going to be problems. But, I, you know, I hear everything that you're saying, and, I mean, I understand why one might be a little bit overwhelmed. I mean, certainly, you know, the defense has kind of owned things here in the early going, and, you know, some of the Drake splash plays have been, you know, kind of contained, you know, the throw to Rager on, I think it was the first day.
Yep.
And, you know, then it was kind of a quiet second day. Even today, made some throws, but, you know, not a lot of the garden variety chucking it down the field. And I think, you know, that's kind of what I think you're probably getting at and what I kind of feel, too, is that, you know, this is what we're waiting for. Like, today they had some good plays. There certainly was not an outstanding day for the offense, but, you know, the plays that they made, though, were mostly, and the good ones, you know, they were in time, but they're all kind of short. They're all crossers. They're maybe up the seam, not even, you know, not very deep. So I think what we're waiting for is, like, all right, we need to see from this kid the explosiveness and the consistent ability to push the ball down the field. And, you know, I think those things are all connected, maybe when pads come on. But we saw something like you're talking about today, Andy, where, you know, the play kind of broke down, and then he was going to kind of throw it one way, and then he just kind of chucked it the other way. And I get crazy with the Mahomes of it all when people are like, you know, that one, what was it, in the Super Bowl, the AFC Championship, where he was like, you know, horizontal to the ground, didn't even complete it, but everyone was like, oh, my God, that was amazing incompletion. I don't want that stuff either, but, you know, we'll see. Look, the kid's been through four practices. It's an all-new offense. He's, you know, still getting a lot of reps. So I get it if you're not blown away so far, especially when you got Joe Milton out there launching bombs and doing backflips, because I know that stuff catches the eye. But, you know, I would say I'm not overly super disappointed yet with Drake May, anything like that. I think it's just been, all right, we got to understand this is a rookie, and it's going to take a little time. But talk to me in a couple of weeks, especially after that joint practice, and then we'll see.
One of the biggest questions for me has been the production you may or may not get out of the receivers, and particularly the rookie receivers. I feel like I am higher on a guy like Jalen Polk than most people have been leading into practices. And as we get going here, Mike, what have you seen from Jalen Polk? What do you expect from him kind of in this offense?
Yeah, it's a really interesting player, and we spent a lot of time today, on the show kind of talking about him because, you know, I don't think everybody knew this coming out. Like, he's not a burner, you know, and I think that's what prevents anyone from thinking that he's going to be a true number one. But what I love so far about Jalen Polk is just he's getting targeted a lot. You know, he had a couple catches today. I know he had the catch on Friday, may or may not have been broken up by Jalen Hawkins if it was real, but he's just active. And when you look at, like, the past couple years where you've had N'Keal Harry get out and get hurt and he's out of camp quick, you had Tyquan Thornton who's not catching a lot of balls, and it's, you know, you're kind of left to piece it together. Who is this guy? How, like, at least Jalen Polk, he's getting targeted by Drake May, he's getting targeted by Jacoby Brissett. He had a nice rep today on one-on-ones. I don't want to blow up one-on-ones, it's impossible for the cornerbacks, but, you know, going against Jonathan Jones, had a little shake, got loose, had some separation, and, you know, that's, I think the key is separation. That's the word that everybody's looking for. Can these guys separate? I love Polk. I just was a fan of the player. I just think he's a tough guy. A little bit Jacoby Myers kind of to his game. I hope he can be better than that. But I thought today the guy that's really started to come out was Javon Baker. And so if those two guys can play, I think then we're really talking about something this year with, hey, we've got some guys on offense that we can go into the future with and feel pretty good about.
And maybe we won't have the 32nd ranked wide receiver room and playmaker grouping. And
that'd be nice.
That'd be nice. Things are looking up. So I'm going to ask you, it's a tough question. I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit for sort of specific guys. But, you know, this time of year, we're always talking kind of about two things on opposite ends of the spectrum, potential surprise cut and potential surprise, make the roster, breakout guy in training camp. It's early. Pads go on tomorrow. As you mentioned, joint practices still to come, preseason games still to come. But if I asked you those questions, surprise cut at this point and surprise make the roster have a role, do you have any names you'd throw out there?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how much of a surprise Juju would be, but I thought it was a rough day for him. A couple balls that hit him in the hands during drills that he dropped. You compare him to a guy like, you know, Rager, who, granted, we want to see Rager get with the pads on. As you know, Evan Lazaro, I work with, is pointing out, I mean, looks great when you're just running around there. Rager's been active going back to OTAs. We saw the catch the opening day. He could be a surprise. He's got some special teams ability. But surprise cut? I don't know, Juju, if that's going to surprise too many people, but he certainly seems like a guy that, has got to really start to make some noise quick. I just throw a couple of other surprise names. I mean, Jalen Hawkins, I don't know how much of a surprise he is to people. By this point, we've been talking a lot about him. He continues to kind of be involved with the top guys on defense, but has a little bit more free safety to his game. And I think Alex Austin, we haven't seen as much of these like secondary corner guys yet. I think there's a competition there between Marco Wilson and Alex Austin, Marcellus Dial, those three. I think there's a job for one of those guys. And right now I'd probably put it to Alex Austin, not by a mile, but I think he could be kind of a surprise depth guy. But one last guy just to mention, neither a surprise cut or to make it, but I just think Marcus Jones, pretty solid day again today. He's looking like he could be their slot guy. So there's a few guys there, but I mean, overall, I think you kind of know mostly who the guys are going to make it and who aren't at this point.
Mike, so, you know, one of the big topics going around right now is Matt Judon wanting a new contract, feeling like he's not getting paid what he is worth. He's outright said it, but he's there. He's at practice. I saw pictures today. He was stayed for like an hour after practice signing autographs and stuff. Is that kind of his way of lobbying with them? Like, hey, I want to be here. I'm here. I'm practicing, but I want my new contract. Do you think they'll give him this new contract? What do you think is going to happen with Judon going forward?
Yeah, I think they will. I mean, between him and Godshaw, it's like I think those guys really set the ceiling for this defense. And, you know, we can talk about their age and, you know, what direction their games might be trending at this point. And, you know, but I just think there aren't two guys like them on the roster, especially Judon with his ability to rush the passer. So, you know, all these deals that Elliott Wolf's been handing out, these three-year deals that are, you know, mostly guys 26, 27, 28, right in that range, these young guys, the older guys, not really high on their level of priority list. it's a really hard one. I struggle to see how they can, get through this season and really have a sustainable pass rush without Matthew Judon. I think, to Andy's point, he's been talking about, how good really is this defense. I think he makes a huge difference whether or not he's out there, and that's assuming that he's still the player he was, 2 years ago and heading into last year before he got hurt. So I think the perfect scenario for me is to get him some, get him some more money this year without having to do void years or anything like that. And then as we kind of talked about on Unfiltered, and this was, kind of Perillo's idea, was he might be a pretty good trade asset when you get to October, November. And at that point, maybe you're not quite in the playoffs, but look, we've got some other guys we want to get some time to. We know we're not going to make it this year. Let's cash this chip in and, maybe try to get a day two pick for Matthew Judon and really start to, get some draft value and some draft, capital to work with. So that'd probably be the best case scenario for both of those guys. I have a hard time seeing them getting multi-year deals with, big cap hits next year. It doesn't seem the direction this team's heading. It seems like they want to turn the page to the next generation.
Mike Dassault, I will see you down at Gillette Stadium tomorrow when the pads come on and we really can start to assess things like the Patriots offensive line, for example, like Chukwuma Okorafor and whether he is the left tackle or whether any of the other guys are going to step up and take those critical jobs. Appreciate the time this afternoon. Go have a beer on us, even though I'm not paying for it. Just pretend I did. Enjoy your afternoon, and I hope you guys are right, and I really do hope I'm wrong, because even 6 or 7 wins will be more fun than 0.0 fall. So Gerard Mayo, Drake May, and Mike Dussault, I'm rooting for you all, so have a good afternoon, man.
Thanks, guys. Talk to you soon.
Thanks, Mike.
That was Mike Dussault from Patriots.com. Patriots Unfiltered, the podcast from which I came and was birthed into these EEI airwaves.
Good job.
Check them out. They're not quite as good as Six Rings and Football Things, but they're not bad. They do their own thing over there. So we are coming down the home stretch here, and we are going to pick up where Mike left off. There's a couple things I'd like to talk about in there. Most importantly, the Matthew Judon contract, what he might be looking for, and how this may play out, because I do think it's interesting. As you said, Shime, he's playing the positive PR game, I think.
Yeah, that's how he's lobbying. He's doing it like the peaceful protest almost.
Yeah, but what happens when that doesn't work? How does he change his tactics down the road? But before we get to that discussion, we need to get to a trending, talking about everything that's happening in the world of sports, including, not putting you on the spot here, but there have been some late roster moves for the Boston Red Sox. That'll be in your trending, or it'll be after the break.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Red Sox losers last night to the Yankees, 11-8 in extras. Another blown save for the Red Sox bullpen that makes it a league-leading 7 since the end of the All-Star break. They'll be back in action tonight in the rubber match against the Yankees on Sunday Night Baseball. Tanner Houck on the mound opposite Carlos Rodon for the Yankees. Our coverage of that game kicks off at 6:10 with Cooper Boardman on the Mass Mutual pregame show. Then Will Fleming and Joe Castiglione will have all the play-by-play action. First pitch at 7:10 on the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Trade deadline now just 3 days away. Red Sox and Yankees both active on the trade market. The Red Sox yesterday acquired catcher Danny Jansen from the Toronto Blue Jays in exchange for 3 prospects, while the Yankees acquired shortstop/outfielder Jazz Chisholm from the Miami Marlins, also in exchange for 3 prospects. Trade deadline is Tuesday at 6 p.m. Andy just alluded to it, but the Red Sox making some roster moves ahead of that Sunday Night Baseball game. The Red Sox have DFA'd catcher Reese McGuire and pitcher Chase Anderson. Team USA basketball kicked off their Olympic campaign this morning, defeating Nikola Jokic and Serbia 110-84 at the final. Kevin Durant led the way for Team USA with 23 points. Drew Holiday added 15. Derek White added 2, while Jason Tatum did not play in the game. When asked post-game why Tatum did not play, Steve Kerr just said that he was playing the matchups that made the most sense. Their next game is set for Wednesday afternoon, a rematch against South Sudan. My name is Zach Coe. That's what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.com.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. Ooh. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You're listening to Fitzy and Hart on Boston Sports Original, WEEI.
Devon Gotcha and Matthew Judon, I assume, are included in that.
Yep.
They've expressed varying levels of displeasure about their situation. What's the team's kind of relationship?
Yeah, look, the relationship is still good, at least from my perspective. And I know the their teammates definitely respect them. Those are valuable pieces of this organization, and they've done a lot for us. And hopefully we can get something done, and those guys are here. I want them here. I think, Elliot wants them here. The team wants them here. Those guys, there is a business aspect to everything, though.
In some ways, business is booming in Foxborough because we're back in training camp season. Players are practicing. Fans are watching, even if it may not be quite the number of fans that did at the heyday. Brady, Gronk, Belichick training camps overflow the ramps of Gillette Stadium. People are excited. There's cheers, as Dussault noted. Sometimes those cheers are because Joe Milton did a backflip after a drill or a pass. But whatever. You take what you can get at this point in the post-Belichick rebuild transitional phase, Gerard Mayo era here in New England. But the business of football is also infringing upon this team. You have two specific cases. I know we all have been following an offseason of re-signings, the latest of which was Jabril Peppers, which I love. Thought that was a really nice contract.
Definitely.
They got with him for a core guy who is not only a player on the field, I think is an energy guy and a good transitional piece for
Agreed.
This whole team. But we have Matthew Judon, who is on the field, is practicing, is not happy with his contract. He talked, but he also said, I signed it, so I kind of have to play on it, which you don't really because it's the NFL. The signatures are meaningless for both the player and the team.
Yep.
That's just the way those deals work.
Not fully guaranteed. That's how it goes.
Nope. So you got to use your leverage when you have it. And Devon Godshaw, who is on the field but isn't really practicing, is kind of more of a mixed bag. He's not contributing one day. He's off to his side doing, I don't know exactly what he's doing out there. I actually, quite frankly, don't care about Godshaw.
No, I heard you. Were you on, was it Gresham Fourier? Were you like, trade his ass?
I was harsher than that, even. I may have gotten a little wound up, and I just...
You
I don't
tend
know who
to do
think
that.
He
it
is,
happens.
But I also don't know who he thinks he is.
Well, yeah, he thinks he's Aaron Donald, and he's not.
He's a run-of-the-mill, complimentary, run-stuffing defensive tackle, which in 1994 I may have valued. In 2024, I say pound sand.
Yeah.
I think you're overpaid as it is, never mind looking for double that kind of money and guaranteed money.
Especially when I just paid Christian Barmore.
Right. Like, whatever. I can find somebody to be the complimentary early down run stuffer.
Yep,
I can. Daniel Aquales of the world.
I could have drafted Tavondre Sweat out of Texas if I wanted to.
What are we doing here? Okay. But Matthew Judon, I think, is more interesting. 32 years old.
Correct.
Pro Bowl pass rusher when healthy. Effective pass rusher early last year when healthy. Then missed the remainder of the season after only playing four games. 32 years old. Final year of his deal. Six and change he's making this year.
Mm-hmm.
But had good guaranteed money. So he actually has the highest cap number on the team from the previous guaranteed money. Is looking for good money. I don't begrudge Matthew Judon for looking for money. I also don't begrudge Elliot Wolf and company necessarily for saying, we want you on the defense, but we're, as Gerard Mayo said, building a foundation for the future, of which you are not at your age. And I don't know that we want to use up cap space moving forward on a 32-34-year-old pass rusher who may lose a step and is still going to have to be the guy here. That's the other thing, is I think he might still have value on other teams where, you know, he can be the secondary piece opposite the younger impact pass rusher. So I know this is bad radio. I kind of understand both sides and where they are.
Definitely.
Which is why I'm not sure how this plays out when he has played the good PR game. Oh, yeah, he's signing autographs. He's hanging with fans. He's throwing the ball to fans. Yep. Oh, he's
playing
doing
catch with the kids.
But what happens when he doesn't get paid? He wants new money. What happens when new money doesn't flow? How do you end this in a positive way for everybody involved?
Well, so my question is what are the Patriots? They have a ton of cap space.
Correct. $43 million, I believe, right
now.
And
you have a ton coming up next year as well.
Yes.
It doesn't seem as though, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, it doesn't seem as though Judon is looking for term. He's just looking for money, right?
So let me just throw a number out there. If he said, listen, I'm supposed to make like $6 million in salary this year.
Yeah, why can't we double that and give him $12 million next year and call it square?
What if he wants 2 years and 50? A middle-of-the-road top pass rusher right now makes $25 million a year. Like, Von Miller signed a 6-year, $120 million deal to go to Buffalo.
Yeah, but that's Von Miller. He has shown that he can be elite. Like, at any time, he was a Super Bowl MVP.
Okay. Just...
like, I think that's different, right? What was Eric Armstead from the 49ers got a new contract this year. What was his contract? His was 3 for 43.5. Like, that's...
I would do that.
Yeah, that's just over $12 million. So that's what I'm saying. Double his six and give it to him again next year.
And when he goes no,
he's not going to go no. If you give him 2 for 25,
what if he goes no?
He won't.
What if I know he wants more than that?
You think he wants more than 12.5 per year?
I do.
Okay, if that's the case, then good on Elliott Wolf for not doing anything. Like, honestly, I would be, because you and I talked about this quickly in the break because I asked you a quick question about Brandon Ayuk. Like, I would be packaging him up and sending him in a trade for Ayuk, like, tomorrow. Like, that's perfect for them because they get a piece that helps them win now. Because they need pass rush help.
Okay.
Leonard Floyd is not the answer. So they need to replace a guy like Eric Armstead. They can do it on cheap money for a year. He gets to go possibly win a Super Bowl, and you get Brandon freaking Ayuk.
He has already said he doesn't want to be traded.
Is there a no-trade clause?
No.
But then he doesn't really have a say.
So the 49ers would be acquiring a guy who's unhappy on two accounts. He's not making what he thinks, and he's not where he wants to be.
Yeah, wait until you get traded to the 49ers, who are the second in the odds to win the Super Bowl. You'll be fine.
Okay. Yeah, I just think this is it's a bumpy road. And now, my end-all statement that I would use on Godshaw, to a lesser degree, but I'd still use on Judon. We're going to stink with you. We can stink without you.
Pound sand.
So I can win anywhere from 0 to 6 games with you, which still nobody's having a parade. We're not getting any duck boats warmed up. Nope. I can win 0 to 6 games without you.
Because
I might win 4 instead of 6, which some people would actually argue is better for the team. If you trade Judon or get rid of Judon and win 2 or 3 less games and get a higher pick and get the LSU tackle or whoever.
Sure, maybe. And that may be true, but like I look at it and I'm like, okay, so I trade you and I just play Josh Uche, who I'm paying pennies. Like he slides in, and the more importantly, I'm getting more reps for Keon White. I'm getting more reps for Christian Barmore. I don't really care about Matt Judon at this point. Like, it's like, dude, like, we want to have you with you. We'd be a really, really talented front seven, I think.
Mm-hmm.
In my opinion, like, especially the front four, the versatility you have, the ability to rotate. Like, I think that front four would be awesome with Matt Judon in there. But like, if not, we'll survive. We'll figure it out.
Oh, you're going to survive either way because you're not competing for anything.
Yeah, you're not competing for a Super Bowl. Like, it's like, okay.
And you won't be able to tell the letoff, really, because, again, no one's going to freak out that you traded a pass rusher and then lost a game because, oh, your pass rush wasn't good enough.
But, like, that's also my confusion as to why he wouldn't, like, if Elliott Wolf went to him tomorrow and said, hey, let's rework this year's deal. We'll make it $13 million for you this year instead of only 6, and then next year it's another 12.5. Like, I don't understand why you would say no to that. Like,
well, he thinks he's worth more.
Okay, well, they're not going to pay you. So if you want to be worth more, you're going to have to wait till the offseason anyways.
I think the reason that I think Bill Belichick and Matthew Judon suffer from sort of the same issue. They are not accepting of the fact that 72 is a really old coach and makes people pause.
Yes, it is.
And 32 is an old pass rusher and makes people pause.
Yes, it is.
Like, you, as good as you may
especially
have been.
Especially coming off an injury.
Well, or a terrible season for Belichick. Like,
yeah.
You came off a 4-win season. He came off a 4-game season.
Mm-hmm.
Both are bad in
awful.
Terms of convincing people you're not old.
Correct.
Right? And that's just the reality of the NFL now. It's always been a young man's game in terms of players. It's now a young man's game in terms of coaches and players. And if you aren't a young man, you're swimming upstream in terms of convincing people of your value. That's why I think, since they're seemingly on good terms right now, both directions, like he loves Elliott, Elliott loves him, Robert's hugging him on the practice field, that whole thing, I think my selling point would be get on the field in September. Show me against Joe Burrow and whatever, 2 or 3 weeks in, show me you're still an impact pass rusher.
And then I'll give you the deal.
And then, maybe not the deal you want, because I think you want more than you're worth. But then I'm willing to fluff up your contract and maybe even give you a second year of your contract. I don't think I would go beyond next year, really.
Yeah, well, so
but I don't know if he'll take that.
I definitely would not go beyond next year, because you have to look at this like a ticking clock. You only have a certain window to bulk up your roster with high-paid, legitimate studs before you're going to have to pay a quarterback $60 million a year. Drake May, and if you don't start Drake May right away this year, you're already just throwing 1 year of his contract out the bleeping window, which in my opinion is dumb. And so then you're already down to 4 year window. You only have 4 years until you have to pay a quarterback an insane amount of money. So the idea that you would pay Judon much more than 2 for $25 is ridiculous. I would never do that. Like, he's not Aaron Donald. He's not Miles Garrett. He's not Nick Bosa. I'm not giving him $30 million a year, $25 million a year to just be a rotational, pretty good pass rusher. That's just not, that doesn't make any good business sense.
So looking at cap numbers for this year, I just went on Spot Track, Edge. Yep. So I'm putting him in the Edge category. Max Crosby has the highest cap number, 30.4 million.
Max Crosby better than Matt Judon.
TJ Watt, 30.4
better
million.
Better than Matt
Judon. Joey Bosa, 26.1
million.
Better
than
Matt Judon. Khalil Mack, 25.6 million.
He's older now, but at the time was better than Matt Judon.
Montez Sweat is number 5, 25.08 million.
Probably better than Matthew Judon.
Harold Landry, 23.8 million.
Okay, this is where we're starting to get
so
risky.
Now he. So is it
now
crazy
he has a point.
For him to look for a cap number of $24 million
well,
a year?
Well, technically, his cap number this year is like 20-something million, isn't it?
No, it's like 14 and change, I believe, leftover.
Okay. I guess technically he'd have a point. But again, I would stand firm if I was Elliott. Well, I would not pay that. I just wouldn't.
So let's just say it's 2 years
like that,
40.
2 years 40?
Because like the $20 million cap hit puts you in like the top 10.
I would
have his buddy Trey Hendrickson, 20.16 million.
I watch a lot of haggling videos on TikTok, so I would be haggling him, try and come down. I want to know what his lowest, what his best is. And so my guess is I would try and get him. You get him down to 2 for $35, I'll do it.
Okay.
Because he's off my books. If he's completely off my books after next season, I'd do it.
Because I think
you're not going to utilize that money this year for something else anyways. So this year, I'm fine with it. And next year, it becomes a little iffy, but you should be fine because you're going to have a bajillion dollars in cap space. Still don't have to pay a quarterback. I still don't have to think about it for three more years. I could sign a CeeDee Lamb, Brandon Ayuk, T. Higgins type if he became available in free agency and still be paying Judon, and I'd be fine. And so I'm okay with that.
What are you paying Judon for would be my final question on this topic, because I think, you know, there's the on-field, I want a 15-sack guy.
Yeah.
Are you paying for him to help and continue to mold Anthony Jennings and Josh Uche, Keon White? Are you paying for him to, quite honestly, I don't know if this matters or not, but he's a podium guy. He goes to the podium after the game, sometimes first, with generally, I won't say a smile on his face, but a certain energy and professionalism.
Yeah.
Like, and I think there's value in that. I've said that all along.
Absolutely.
I think there's value for Alex Cora
there's
in that.
There's leadership value.
Right.
There.
So are you paying for, because I think we are in the ballpark. I think his side is probably saying, I'm better than Harold Landry. I want $24 million a year. And I think the Patriots are saying, you're 32, you're this, you're that. We want to pay you $13 million a year. And then the reality is somewhere in the middle. The fair negotiated reality.
Yep.
Can they get there? Do they want to get there each side?
Because I guess my assumption is that when it all came down to it, it would come down to like it would end up being the base contract is like 2 for $32 or something like that. But with incentives, with sack number incentives, it could get to $40 million. You know, like that kind of deal. And like that to me would make a lot of sense, because it's like, all right, I'm going to pay you for the leadership and what you bring on and off the field. But then if you really show me you deserve a bigger contract with the sack numbers, that's when I'm like, okay, I will dole out the cash.
Okay, speaking of doling out cash, I don't know what that means. Bad transition. The show's going to be over in a little bit. We got one more segment. Kevin and Bill Ricka, I see you waiting. If you want to hang on, I will give you a shot in the final segment to weigh in on the Patriots. If not, I'm going to bring up a topic in the final segment that Scheim knows not of which it is. And I am going to say, few people probably care about around here.
I almost just choked on a pickle chip.
Glad you added chip, because if
I made sure.
Smart man right there. Smart man. But it's a topic that I find interesting and I think is going to dramatically affect college sports, not just college football, but the entire landscape of sports in college.
Okay.
And it's as big, in my opinion, potentially, or bigger than NIL or the transfer portal. And no one is talking about it. And I know that's like a thing in sports talk. No one's talking about this when they really are. Literally no one's talking about this. And I think it's changing the landscape of everything. So we will talk about that. We'll talk to Kevin if he sticks around. And we will finish up the final segment of Fitzy Hart on a Sunday afternoon.
Fitzy and Hart on WEEI.
Boston's Sports Original.
Okay, back here, Fitzy and Hart, Chris Scheim in the number two seat, because he is the poo, number two.
Wow.
I promised Kevin and Bill Ricka we would hear your thoughts on the Patriots before we got the heck out of here. So, Kevin, what do you want to say about the Patriots at this point?
Andy, Scheim, first time I've talked to Scheim, I've talked to Andy before.
What's up, Kevin?
And I got a lot of questions, but I know you don't have time for all of them. But, I mean, as far as Matthew Judon is concerned, how much better is he going to make the Patriots?
Not all that much.
We're not making the playoffs this year. We're not, maybe not making it this year. And the same question goes for me with Brandon Ayuk. I don't care what you give San Francisco to get him here. You know, this team needs, the defense is good, but the offense needs a lot of work. So I don't know, you know, unless Drake May is C.J. Stroud, you know, and can work with, well, but we know Houston had better players than we got and everything. So, I mean, I hope we get the third or fourth pick next year and get that guy from LSU. So, that's my thoughts.
Thanks for the call, Kevin. Not to put too much time into this because we don't have too much time. We have a future date. I do think there is something to be said for the idea that people want a receiver for Drake May because it improves Drake May's development.
Yep.
Maybe. Because generally this is done, like C.J. Stroud, it wasn't done there. After he was good, they went and got the veteran guy who's going to want the ball. Josh Allen was already developing into a good player.
They went and got Steph
Putting
Diggs.
That on a rookie plate for a quarterback could be challenging. If you bring in Brandon Ayuk and he signs a $120 million contract, he wants the football. He's expecting the football. And if you're a rookie, there's some pressure there. So I think the counter argument is, let him develop for a year with his guys, and then if he shows you he's going that way, go get him T. Higgins, go get him whoever.
Yeah, and if you look at C.J. Stroud, right, he took Nico Collins and made him a 450 yards a year guy into a 1,000-yard receiver.
Correct.
And so, theoretically, if Drake May is as good as C.J. Stroud, he could do something similar with a guy like Kendrick Bourne, or even Jalen Polk could be Tank Dell-esque, and Tank Dell was really good when he was healthy. So, like, I get it. I understand that point, and I think that's a very valid point, right? Maybe it's not great to do it this year, but like if Drake comes out and pops off this year, then in the offseason, you do everything you can to bring in your T. Higgins, Brandon Ayuk, CeeDee Lamb type.
What if I told you Alabama and Georgia and Clemson and Notre Dame and Michigan
UMass
and Ohio State and UMass all just acquired 20 more scholarships for their football team?
Huh. That's kind of interesting. Okay.
Okay. Because it just happened. Part of the NCAA settlement with all this crap that's gone on in recent years is the revelation that scholarship limits are illegal.
Oh.
Now you can have roster limits. So NCAA football teams, which didn't have roster limits but had 85-man scholarship limits, now have 105-man roster limits. Lacrosse teams, that men's lacrosse teams, my world, got a kid that plays lacrosse, whatever. Game changer, according to Paul Rabel, because those teams had 12 scholarship limits.
So now it's a roster limit?
Now they have 48 scholarships.
Holy smokes.
For lacrosse.
That's a huge difference.
Every sport, and I have a chart, I tweeted it, you can go check Jumbo Heart if you want. For example, tumbling just went from 14 scholarships to 55.
It's like gymnastics, limit. Right? Tumbling?
Yep.
Yeah.
Women's lacrosse, 12 to 38. Baseball.
Holy smokes.
11.7 to 34. Basketball, men's 13 to 15, women 15 to 15. So there were some that had already. Beach volleyball, 6 to 19. And this is not a guarantee every school will use said scholarship.
Correct.
But they can fill out their rosters with scholarship athletes.
Wow.
Baseball, I think, is fascinating because baseball, like lacrosse, those were always partial scholarship sports. Mm-hmm. You get a third, you play third base. I get a third, I play second base. Now we're all getting full scholarships potentially.
Damn.
I think this is a massive change in college sports that will have trickle-down effects to Division II, Division III. Guys that couldn't get a scholarship before, oh, I'm just going to go D3 if I'm not getting a scholarship. Now they may be on scholarship at various schools and various sports around the country.
But it also may be more difficult to find the real talent, too, because some of those guys might be buried on rosters behind other guys. Just because they have the scholarship anyway. So they're not getting all the reps that they would get at a lower D1 school or a D2 school or something like that.
Also, schools with less money are at a greater disadvantage now. Alabama's going to add a full 20 scholarships. Georgia's going to add a full 20 scholarships. Lesser schools, I don't know if they're adding a full 20 scholarships.
Ooh, well, Bill O'Brien had 20 scholarships.
So the haves and the have-nots, the divide is growing, in my opinion.
Interesting.
Another example of this in college sports, at all levels, in all sports. Like, this is really going to change things, and I'm not smart enough to know exactly how. I think there's a lot more questions than answers, and probably even people involved won't know it. I mean, the good news is there's more scholarships available. The bad news is that may have some ramifications.
Yeah,
and
so I think this is really, really good for sports, not college football. Like, it seems to me like
baseball, lacrosse, those things, it's huge.
It's amazing.
Huge.
But when it comes to football, there could be some interesting impacts due to this.
And Dabo Swinney, a former walk-on, is really lamenting the loss of walk-ons. Because now you have a roster limit. They're all scholarship athletes. The walk-ons are gone. There are also offshoot ideas. There is the potential at some of these bigger schools. They're talking about starting club football teams that will practice against the varsity and then go play their own games against other club football teams. So you're essentially the scout team quarterback, JV quarterback, and then you get to go play a JV game. Yeah. So there's lots of layers there, but coaches are worried.
My girlfriend played on a club hockey team.
Late in the season in recent years, with opt-outs in bowl games, a lot of walk-ons have gotten opportunities to play. Coaches are like, I'm not going to be able to fill out rosters for bowl games late in the year. So some of it's rhetoric, some of it's talk.
Interesting.
But there will be a lot of changes, and not a lot of people
are
talking about this right now.
Yeah, that's really cool.
A really interesting aspect of college sports, college football. But as you said, I think it's more for the non-revenue sports, the baseballs, the lacrosses. And I think it's good for those because it just schools that have the money, and they should, by the way, because they
100%.
All charge an arm and a leg, and they have all these
an arm and a leg, try a whole three bodies.
Or what Vrabel would give up to win the Super Bowl.
And more than that.
They take all that and then some.
Yep.
Just an interesting development on the college sports landscape. I know around that doesn't necessarily resonate. But as you said, Bill O'Brien.
Yeah.
Is BC going to give him 20 more scholarships?
Technically, he has them. So, they probably have the money to do it.
They certainly have the money to do
it. Oh, yeah. You're right. Certainly have the money to do it. Now it's just a question of will they.
So, keep an eye on that from afar if you care about sports and college sports and how this all plays out. Have you played NCAA 25?
I don't own PlayStation or Xbox, so I haven't been able to. It's been very disappointing.
I've been watching a lot of it. My son's been playing
with
his buddies, and apparently it's hard. Apparently defense is hard.
Defense is impossible.
I watched 121 to 118 shootout or something like that the other day on my television. I was not impressed. That's a lot. That's way more than whatever it was, Rams Chiefs a couple years
54,
ago.
54-52,
it was
whatever.
Like double that. So that's going to put the wraps on Fitzy and Hart. It was a fun afternoon. Thank you, Chris Schein.
My pleasure being here.
Filling in for Nick Fitzy Stevens. We'll be back at you sometime this week. I'll be on the Rich Keefe Show Wednesday and Thursday night. Six rings and football things. Check us out each and every day down at Gillette, down at practices. Monday, the pads are on. Real training camp is here. Real baseball talk is here. We did our best, but a real baseball guy is taking over now. Rob Bradford and the Bradfo Show with the Play Tessie crew for the next couple hours. And that leads you up to 6:10 Red Sox pregame show Rubber match, big game. Don't blow it, Red Sox. Sox, Yankees, Sunday night baseball, Fenway Park. It matters, and that's how it should be. For Chris Scheim, Jumbo Hearts out. See ya.
See ya.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Fitzy and Hart on WEEI.
Boston's Sports Original.
Okay, back here, Fitzy and Hart, Chris Scheim in the number two seat, because he is the poo, number two.
Wow.
I promised Kevin and Bill Ricca we would hear your thoughts on the Patriots before we got the heck out of here. So, Kevin, what do you want to say about the Patriots at this point?
Andy, Scheim, first time I've talked to Scheim, I've talked to Andy before.
What's up, Kevin?
And I got a lot of questions, but I know you don't have time for all of them. But, I mean, as far as Matthew Judon is concerned, how much better is he going to make the Patriots?
Not all
that
much.
You know, we're not making the playoffs this year. We're not, maybe not making it this year. And the same question goes for me with Brandon Ayuk. I don't care what you give San Francisco to get him here. You know, this team needs, the defense is good, but the offense needs a lot of work. So I don't know, you know, unless Drake May is C.J. Stroud, you know, and can work with, well, but we know Houston had better players than we got and everything. So, I mean, I hope we get the third or fourth pick next year and get that guy from LSU. So, that's my thoughts.
Thanks for the call, Kevin. Not to put too much time into this because we don't have too much time. Future date. I do think there is something to be said for the idea that people want a receiver for Drake May because it improves Drake May's development.
Yep.
Maybe. Because generally this is done, like C.J. Stroud, it wasn't done there. After he was good, they went and got the veteran guy who's going to want the ball. Josh Allen was already developing into a good player.
They went and got Steph
Putting
Diggs.
That on a rookie plate for a quarterback could be challenging. If you bring in Brandon Ayuk and he signs a $120 million contract, he wants the football. He's expecting the football. And if you're a rookie, there's some pressure there. So I think the counter argument is, let him develop for a year with his guys, and then if he shows you he's going that way, go get him T. Higgins, go get him whoever.
Yeah, and if you look at C.J. Stroud, right, he took Nico Collins and made him a 450 yards a year guy into a 1,000-yard receiver.
Correct.
And so, theoretically, if Drake May is as good as C.J. Stroud, he could do something similar with a guy like Kendrick Bourne, or even Jalen Polk could be Tank Dell-esque, and Tank Dell was really good when he was healthy. So, like, I get it. I understand that point, and I think that's a very valid point, right? Maybe it's not great to do it this year, but like if Drake comes out and pops off this year, then in the offseason, you do everything you can to bring in your T. Higgins, Brandon Ayuk, CeeDee Lamb type.
What if I told you Alabama and Georgia and Clemson and Notre Dame and Michigan
UMass
and Ohio State and UMass all just acquired 20 more scholarships for their football team?
Huh. That's kind of interesting. Okay.
Okay. Because it just happened. Part of the NCAA settlement with all this crap that's gone on in recent years is the revelation that scholarship limits are illegal.
Oh.
Now you can have roster limits. So NCAA football teams, which didn't have roster limits but had 85-man scholarship limits, now have 105-man roster limits. Lacrosse teams. That men's lacrosse teams, my world, got a kid that plays lacrosse, whatever. Game changer, according to Paul Rabel, because those teams had 12 scholarship limits.
So now it's a roster limit?
Now they have 48 scholarships.
Holy smokes.
For lacrosse.
That's a huge difference.
Every sport, and I have a chart. I tweeted it. You can go check Jumbo Heart if you want. For example, tumbling just went from 14 scholarships to 55.
Yeah, it's like gymnastics, limit. Right? Tumbling?
Yep.
Yeah.
Women's lacrosse, 12 to 38. Baseball.
Holy smokes.
11.7 to 34. Basketball, men's 13 to 15, women 15 to 15. So there were some that had already. Beach volleyball, 6 to 19. And this is not a guarantee every school will use said scholarship.
Correct.
But they can fill out their rosters with scholarship athletes.
Wow.
Baseball, I think, is fascinating because baseball, like lacrosse, those were always partial scholarship sports. Mm-hmm. You get a third, you play third base. I get a third, I play second base. Now we're all getting full scholarships potentially.
Damn.
I think this is a massive change in college sports that will have trickle-down effects to Division II, Division III. Guys that couldn't get a scholarship before, oh, I'm just going to go D3 if I'm not getting a scholarship. Now they may be on scholarship at various schools and various sports around the country.
But it also may be more difficult to find the real talent, too, because some of those guys might be buried on rosters behind other guys just because they have the scholarship anyway. So they're not getting all the reps that they would get at a lower D1 school or a D2 school or something like that.
Also, schools with less money are at a greater disadvantage now. Alabama's going to add a full 20 scholarships. Georgia's going to add a full 20 scholarships. Lesser schools, I don't know if they're adding a full 20 scholarships.
Ooh, Bill O'Brien had 20 scholarships.
So the haves and the have-nots, the divide is growing, in my opinion. Another example of this in college sports, at all levels, in all sports. Like, this is really going to change things, and I'm not smart enough to know exactly how. I think there's a lot more questions than answers, and probably even people involved won't know it. I mean, the good news is there's more scholarships available. The bad news is that may have some ramifications.
Yeah, so I think this is really, really good for sports, not college football. Like, it seems to me like
baseball,
could be,
lacrosse, those things, it's huge.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Huge.
But when it comes to football, there could be some interesting impacts due to this.
And Dabo Swinney, a former walk-on, is really lamenting the loss of walk-ons. Because now you have a roster limit. They're all scholarship athletes. The walk-ons are gone. There are also offshoot ideas. There is the potential. At some of these bigger schools, they're talking about starting club football teams that will practice against the varsity and then go play their own games against other club football teams. So you're essentially the scout team quarterback, JV quarterback, and then you get to go play a JV game. Yeah. So there's lots of layers there, but coaches are worried.
My girlfriend played on a club hockey team.
Late in the season in recent years, with opt-outs in bowl games, a lot of walk-ons have gotten opportunities to play. Coaches are like, I'm not going to be able to fill out rosters for bowl games late in the year. So some of it's rhetoric, some of it's talk.
Interesting.
But there will be a lot of changes, and not a lot of people talking about this right now.
Yeah, that's really cool.
A really interesting aspect of college sports, college football. But as you said, I think it's more for the non-revenue sports, the baseballs, the lacrosses. And I think it's good for those because it just schools that have the money, and they should, by the way, because they all charge an arm and a leg, and they have all these
an arm and a leg, try a whole three bodies.
Or what Vrabel would give up to win the Super Bowl.
And more than that.
They take all that and then some.
Yep.
Just an interesting development on the college sports landscape. I know around
Andy,
that doesn't necessarily resonate. But as you said, Bill O'Brien.
Yeah.
Is BC going to give him 20 more scholarships?
Technically, he has them. So, they probably have the money to do it.
They certainly have the money to do
it. Yeah. Oh, yeah. You're right. Not probably. Certainly have the money to do it. Now it's just a question of will they.
So, keep an eye on that from afar if you care about sports and college sports and how this all plays out. Have you played NCAA 25?
I don't own PlayStation or Xbox, so I haven't been able to. It's been very disappointing.
I've been watching a lot of it. My son's been playing
with his buddies, and
apparently it's hard. Apparently defense is hard.
Defense is impossible.
I watched 121 to 118 shootout or something like that the other day on my television. I was not impressed. That's a lot. That's way more than whatever it was, Rams Chiefs a couple years
54,
ago.
54-52,
it was
whatever.
Like double that. So that's going to put the wraps on Fitzy and Hart. It was a fun afternoon. Thank you, Chris Schein.
My pleasure being here.
Filling in for Nick Fitzy Stevens. We'll be back at you sometime this week. I'll be on the Rich Keefe Show Wednesday and Thursday night. Six rings and football things. Check us out each and every day down at Gillette, down at practices. Monday, the pads are on. Real training camp is here. Real baseball talk is here. We did our best, but a real baseball guy is taking over now. Rob Bradford and the Bradfo Show with the Play Tessie crew for the next couple hours. And that leads you up to 6:10 Red Sox pregame show Rubber match, big game. Don't blow it, Red Sox. Sox, Yankees, Sunday night baseball, Fenway Park. It matters, and that's how it should be. For Chris Scheim, Jumbo Hearts out. See ya.
See ya.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.